First John chapter number 2. Before I read in the scripture, let me just mention about the first chapter. John was speaking of the fellowship that is ours even now with the Father and the Son and with all the family of God. The fellowship that we enjoy with our Father, Heavenly Father, and with our elder brother, the Lord Jesus, and with one another. Then he goes on to give the conditions of fellowship in that second chapter, and one of those conditions is found in the 15th verse, when he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That is a condition that is ours if we're going to enjoy the blessings of God and have fellowship. I'm going to read from the 28th verse of the second chapter. "And now, little children," remember in the first verse he said, "My little children." Now in the 28th verse, "Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." That is a tremendous scripture. I have read it on more than one occasion over the years, preached different sermons from those verses. And I'm glad tonight that they're still real. There are truths here that are real. And I never say this tonight about the Word of God. You can search the libraries of the world. You'll never find a book that compares to this. This is a book that will lead us to glory. It's our roadmap. The psalmist said that it is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It's the way to heaven. I was going to bring an atlas with me to the pulpit tonight, forgot it. I was going to let you to know if there's someplace you want to go in America, you'll just borrow that book and it'll show you the way. I want you to know this book will show us the way. Help us, God, to follow what you have outlined in your word. Not only does it tell us how to get saved, it tells us how to live after we get saved. And I'm glad that it does, because his ways are not hard. The closer you get to the Lord, the easier it is to serve him. Have you found that to be so? When the love of God is filling your soul, there's nothing out there that even seems to have any attraction whatsoever. God, you've been so good to us. We're going to cross the finish line with victory, because you've told us how to get saved, then how to live afterwards. We're right into Timothy. Paul said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." What he was saying as he was writing that letter to Timothy, we were reading in our Sunday school lesson this morning how that we are to grow spiritually and to be more like the Lord and grow personally. And God has outlined it for every one of us that we might be more like the Lord. May God help us to realize tonight everything that we need to know about going to heaven is right in this book. Amen. I've used these verses in chapter 3 many times over the years. And I would like to just mention this tonight. There are truths here that are exactly like the mercy of God. The Bible says the mercies of God endure forever. These truths endure forever. They are there. No man is able to change it. These truths of God. I would like to just mention some of these tonight. First of all, in the second verse, John begins this by saying, "Beloved." He calls believers beloved. There's one thing tonight that every one of us can be assured of, and that is that God loves us. Have you ever thought that sometimes you felt like you were all alone? Nobody cared. That's the way the psalmist was brought down. "No man cares for my soul." And I can hear a voice come across the balconies of heavens saying, "I care." I believe there's people in this congregation who say, "I care." You prayed and you prayed and you prayed for different needs, and God has heard and God's worthy. Keep on praying. Amen. God cares. Amen. 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 He loves us. Beloved, think about it if you will. Abraham was called the friend of God. There were those that were followers of the Lord. Peter, James, John, and the disciples were followers of the Lord. But tonight, we are the children of God, the Bible says. We are the offspring. We are the members of the family of Almighty God. We've got something to rejoice about. And John follows the word beloved with statement, seven words in that second verse. Now are we the sons of God. Seven words. I've mentioned before, if you mark your Bibles, and I've noticed that some of you do, if you mark your Bibles, why don't you mark those seven words now? Are we the sons of God? And the next time you're going through a difficult time, pick up your Bible, turn to the third chapter of the first John, read those words that you've underlined, and realize you are one of God's children, and whatever comes against you, He's right there. He loves you. He's there to take care. Amen. It will bless your heart when you read the Scriptures. Peter went right into the believers years earlier, said the same thing, but he said it in a different way. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. All of that comes because we are the sons of God. By being the sons of God, the children of God, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. We're not like the world. When Satan comes against you, when nothing seems to be going right, when everything seems to be falling apart, if your prayers are not getting through, I want you to remember those seven words. Now are we the sons of God. They'll strengthen you. They'll bless you. I'm afraid, and I've been in the ministry long enough to have seen it so many times, I'm afraid sometimes we hear, and then it's gone. And when we really need it, it seems like there's nowhere in our hearts and minds. But God's got something here for every occasion. Whatever comes our way, the Bible lets us to know that if we are the children of God, called His beloved, now the sons of God, I want you to know He'll be right there with us. What a Savior. What a mighty God. Over the years, I've heard folks boast, and you have as well, of knowing someone, maybe being even kin to someone that was famous. I've even heard someone boast about knowing someone that knew someone that was famous. That's sort of second-hand famous. But I want you to know something. We don't come up short. Did you know? We know someone that's greatest of all. You talk about the most famous, His name is God. He's the Creator. We've got something to boast about tonight because we're His. He's ours. Hallelujah. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the children of the Most High. We are the sons of God. I believe that that would sink through into our very depths of our soul. I believe it would cause our feet to begin to run and to walk and to praise God, singing praises unto God. Our lips would have a song. Our heart would be overjoyed. We are the sons of God. We are the children of the Most High God. We're somebody. Now, I want us to understand, without the Lord, we're nothing. We're somebody in Christ. We are triumphant in Christ. We are victorious in Christ. We are the sons of God tonight. Man. Do you realize that? Do you feel that tonight? We are the children of God. Hallelujah. I really don't believe that this ever really had its full effect in me. But I'm even preaching right now. If we could only understand with all the fullness of the Scriptures, we are somebody in the Lord. Hallelujah. When He died on the cross, He died that we might be saved. Amen. And when we accepted the Lord as our personal Savior, we became the children of the Almighty God. Joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. He owns it all. Hallelujah. And we are His brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, we've got something to shout about.
Rejoice about it. You say, Brother Jones, I don't feel good. Brother, your heart ought to feel good. I'm going through a hard place. I know many are. But brother, we've got something to shout about in here. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are the children of the Most High God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. In the third chapter of Luke, we are given the genealogies of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm going to read from the third chapter of Luke. If you'd like to turn there with me, I've got it marked in my Bible. But if you'd like to turn there with me, I'm going to read some verses. 23 and 24 of the third chapter of Luke. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Mephat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph. And it goes on and on and on. Come down to the 36th verse. Which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Shem, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahalalel, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Now, I left out a lot of that, and you're glad that I did. All of those who sung, I want to share something with you. My genealogy is being recorded. I'll go a different route, and I don't have a family tree here before me, but I can say something like this tonight. Daniel Jones, the son of Mike, the son of Glenn, who was the son of God. Matthew, the son of Tom, who's the son of Glenn, who's the son of God. I want you to know tonight it means something to be a child of the King. Hallelujah. They go back to Adam and says, who was that, the son of Adam? Who was the son of God? The same God that created Adam has saved me. The same God that brought Adam into existence brought me into a living relationship with the Almighty. The same God that breathed in his breath the nostrils of Adam, the brother of Adam, and breathed into me the Spirit of God, and I became alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Well, glory to God! I'm glad tonight that I'm a part of the family of God, having been redeemed by the blood. There's one other part of that seven-word statement by John, and one of those truths that he said, we are the children of God now. We are the children of God now. We don't have to wait until the day of judgment to have our status outlined or determined. It's already decided. We are the sons of God right now. Hallelujah. February the 5th at 5:07 in the year 2012. We are the children of God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother George, what do you say? I don't have to wait out. Father, I'm one of his. Amen. Praise God. If I was about 60 years younger, I might run. Maybe I'd have called somebody to run for me. God, you're good to us. How many people live their lives hoping that maybe one day when they stand before the Lord, He'll say, come on in. I want you to know we can have that assurance now. We are the saints of the Most High God. And when that trumpet sounds, we can have the assurance we're going to see Him, we're going to hear Him, we're going to go out to meet Him. Amen. What a Savior. This thing is exciting. Amen. Salvation is real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, are we the sons of God? Then the next part that I like to bring to my attention, in the second truth in that verse, He said, when He shall appear. Same thing is mentioned in the 28th verse of that second chapter of the book of 1 John. When He shall appear, John said in the second chapter. Now it says the same thing in the third chapter. That's one thing of which you can be assured, and I preached it before, and I'm going to mention it again tonight. Jesus Christ is going to make His appearance. Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds just like the Bible says He is. Hallelujah. Let me just leave some thoughts with you tonight. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, as Jesus went away to the Father, some angels were standing there and said to ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens? What is the next part? The same Jesus which he seeth going away, he's coming again. In the same manner as you see him go away. The same Jesus, hallelujah. The same Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, that died on the cross, that was buried in Joseph's tomb, that arose again and ascended into heaven. The same Jesus is coming back again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter said, Paul said, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The same Lord that went away, He's going to come in the clouds. Jesus Himself said in the 14th chapter of John, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. We have the words of the Lord Himself, brother. I don't care how many out there try to deny it. The Lord Jesus is coming again. Thank God the angel said it. John says it. Jesus said it. Paul said it. The Lord is coming back again. Hallelujah. 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 John said He shall appear. And you can mark it down. It's going to happen just like this Bible says it is. It's going to take place just this way. Thank God. Thank God. He shall appear. Now, I mentioned briefly this morning about what I put in the bulletin, about what is happening in the Far East, or in the Middle East. And we have heard some reports, and there are some folks tonight around the world, leaders around the world, that really don't know what to do. I am not here to elaborate on anything that I don't know about, but just a little bit that I do know, and that the Iranians, and especially those that are in charge, and remember that little man is not in charge. It is a theocracy, and the man that is called what is his name? But you know the religious fellow. He said it again this past week. That Israel is a cancer, and it's got to be cut out. And they said over and over again, they're going to destroy Israel. They're talking about having peace, and they're talking about destroying Israel. There'll never be any peace when someone is talking about destroying Israel. Some of those that are running for president in the Republican Party have said that as soon as I am elected president, if I am elected president, I am going to sign an order, whatever it is. I'm going to sign a decree that the embassy or whatever in Tel Aviv is going to be moved to Jerusalem, because Israel has Jerusalem as their capital, and we don't need to have our embassy or whatever in Tel Aviv. It needs to be in Jerusalem. That stirs up the Iranians. They have now said that they have developed a nuclear launching system to reach America. Iran has said it. We have sanctions against them around the world, all except China and Russia. And we have sanctions against Iran, trying to cause them to realize the need of shutting down the nuclear plants that they had to get a nuclear warhead, but they are defying everything, and I think this, and I'm not here as a politician tonight or saying anything against our president at all, but I think that they're seeing America as being weak. And so they said, we're going to shut down the Straits of Hormuz. And if we do, the price of gas in America is liable to go to $5 a gallon. They expect it to go to $4 this summer anyhow. It's already $4 in New York City. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying tonight that everything is coming to a head. I mentioned the 38th and 39th chapters of Ezekiel. And as you read that scripture about a war that's going to take place, and did you know one of the major actors in that war is Iran? And another is Russia. And Turkey now has seemingly turned their backs on America. So many things that are going on right now that's coming right down to a head. We are standing with Israel, and I'm saying this to a church that believes in God and loves God. We have been standing with Israel. We're standing with Israel tonight. Pray that America will always stand with Israel. If we'll stand with Israel, we'll be on the right side. If we go against Israel, we're going against God. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What are you saying, preacher?
I'm saying this thing is about to come to a head. Our Secretary of Defense by the name of Leon Panetta made a statement last week that the White House had not sanctioned, as far as we know. He said that he believed that Israel will strike Iran and their nuclear facilities sometime in April, May, or June this year. This is February, March, April. That's just two more months. And then before the week was over, the news has come out. And it's been directed by the Secretary of the Defense of Israel. His name is Barak. He used to be the Prime Minister. He said, April might be too late. So let me leave something with you. If America doesn't go along with the program, you watch what I tell you, Israel is going to strike. And if they do, and when they do, there's going to be warfare. And if it happens tomorrow or next week, and war breaks out, don't you get so upset about what Iran or anyone else can do. You look for Jesus. He's coming. This thing is winding down. Everything is in place. I could have told you before they went to the United Nations about getting stronger sanctions. I could have told you I believed in my heart that China and Russia would not go along with the program. They're part of this nuclear plant thing in Iran. I know what's going on in that sense of the world, in the sense of the world. But let me leave something with you tonight. I'm not so much concerned about what the nations out there are doing because of nuclear warheads. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet, for the sound from heaven. Amen. Amen. I'm keeping my heart and my ears in tune with heaven. And when that shout comes forth, brother, I intend to go out of here. Amen. I'm a child of God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. He said, when he shall appear. I like what John said. He said, when he shall appear, mark it down. He is going to make his appearance. And it might be sooner than most people think. I don't care what the religious affiliation might be. What they think about the pre-tribulation, a post-tribulation, a mid-tribulation, or whatever. The Lord is going to make his appearance. Then he went on to say, and I like this. We shall be like him. We shall be like him. Hallelujah. We sing the chorus, more of you. You know why we sing that chorus? Because we want to be more like Jesus. We sing the chorus, I want more of Jesus. Why? Because we want to be more like him. We even sing the chorus, I to be like Jesus. That's the real fault tonight in this part of the sermon. That's our desire, to be like Jesus. Think about it. Jesus is love. Hallelujah. He's the personification of love. And it's our desire tonight to say that the same love that Christ has for mankind. Fill our hearts with love. Jesus lives without sin. And I'm determined to live above sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Paul said, and the Bible tells me that Jesus is holy. And we are admonished by God to live holy. Brother, we shall be like him. One more thought here before I go on. Jesus arose from the grave with a glorified body. I wish I knew more about exactly what it's like. He arose from the grave with a glorified body. And now John is saying, and we're going to be like him. If I'm going to be like Jesus with a glorified body, that means there'll never be any more temptation. And there'll never be another trial. And there'll never be another hardship. And there'll never be any more sickness. Hallelujah. We ought to shout on that. And there'll never be any more pain. There'll never be any more suffering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There'll never be any of that. Praise God. We're going to be like Jesus. He's got a glorified body and we're going to have one too. I thought oftentimes while he was hanging on the cross, he had been beaten mercilessly. Crowned with a crown of thorns and blood ran down his face. His beard had been plucked. They spit upon him. They beat him with rods and with a whip. His back was opened. flesh hanging. They nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. His lips were swollen. He was thirsty. His lips were cracked and broken because of the lack of nourishment. Hanging on the cross. But I want you to see a picture tonight. There are some religions that have a crucifix, and that is the main thing in their religion. I want you to know tonight, it's not the crucifix with Jesus on the cross. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I thought about how many that's been in this church from the very first seat all the way around this church. How many that love God and serve God sitting right over there, Claude Curzon, and all the way around the church. People that love God and serve God and worship God and sung the praises of God and prayed together. I want you to know we're going to see them again, and they're not going to have a broken body. They're not going to have any pain any longer. They're going to have a glorified body, and they're going out with us. Amen. Brother, we're going to be like him. The Bible says this corruptible flesh shall put on incorruption. This mortality shall put on immortality. Hallelujah. We're going to put aside this body of clay, and this tin is going to be dismantled, and we're going to put on a new body. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother, that's something to shout about. There's a lot to shout about. Praise God. We're going to be like him. Not like he was. I painted you a picture a moment ago. That's the way Jesus was. But I want to preach to you right now about the way he is. He is the glorified Son of God. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Interceding for you and me. Our advocate tonight. Brother, if we ever rejoice, we ought to rejoice that we've got somebody seated beside the Father making intercession for us. When you're going through a hard place, he's praying for you. Man, that's something else to shout about. Brother, you can find a whole lot. Amen, amen. How many times you prayed and cried and cried and prayed, and you felt like you're not getting through? I want you to know, he gets through. Huh. Oh, thank God. We shall be like him. What's happening in our home right now? Has never happened in all these years of our married life. 58 years this month. When I see my wife struggling just to walk from one room to another, or maybe just across the room, every step she takes, pain. Sometimes worse than other. I thought, devil, you're having a heyday. But there's coming a time. Hallelujah. There'll never be any more pain. And my wife has said, and she was so true in that, I've never had anything like that. I don't even know. I've told you before, I imagine I can count all the headaches I've ever had on one hand. God's been mighty good. And it's not because I was good, it's because he's good. I didn't deserve anything, but I got mercy. Thank God, thank God. When I see people suffer, when I see people that have prayed and served God and loved God, going through a hard time, you try to do all that you know to do, and you pray and you fast and you cry to God, I want you to know it's almost over. I want you to know there's coming a day soon. We're going to see him, and we're going to have a body like his, and we're going out to be with the Lord. It's going to be a glorified body. Can you imagine for the next 10 billion years, and then 10 times that, whatever that is, for all of those years, not another pain, and not another pill, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more difficulties, no more trials. Brother, don't you know heaven's going to be wonderful? Amen. We're going to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, for we shall see him as he is. Not as he was. We're never going to see him like he was. We're going to see him as he is. I imagine right now, he was open that door and walked down this aisle as he is. I imagine we would be just like John was. We'd fall as dead men. Why, Brother Jones? Because he's holy, 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 holy. We're still in this mortal body. We're still in this corruptible flesh. But one of these days we're going to put it aside, Paul said, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be changed in a moment. And this old body is going to be put aside. And we're going to be like the Lord. Because we're going to be like Him, amen. For we shall see Him as He is. Brother. And it's getting close. I've mentioned before, sometimes some places we were traveling, and we used to, until we moved back to Virginia, being in the ministry in a state where the churches were far removed from each other, and then as superintendent for 8 years, we traveled a whole lot and crossed the states many times, and we were always looking maybe for the next time, the next spot, wherever. I want you to know tonight, I'm not looking anywhere on the road map for another city. I'm looking in the Bible for that city. I'm looking for the Lord. He's coming. We sing the song, "Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face, there to sing forever. Have His saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last. Ever to rejoice." Did you know that song? We sung that a long time before Martin Luther King has said anything about the home at last, home at last. We were singing about, "Oh, I want to see Him." Amen. We were singing a song tonight, "I want to be ready to meet Him." And when we got to the course, I don't want you to do this. But I underlined these words, "Oh, I want to be more like Him and do His best command. I want to be like Jesus. I want to see the Lord. I'm going to have a body like the Lord." Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus was given a mock trial. He was beaten. He was crucified. He was buried. He arose again. He ascended into heaven. And because of that tonight, I tell you that He's yonder in glory with a glorified body. And He's coming for us. And when He comes, we're going to be like Him. We're going to see Him like He is. And we're going to be changed in a moment and go out to meet Him. But remember what I say now. That's not the way He is tonight. But I said a while ago, I told you how He was. But tonight I see Him as the glorified Son of God. I'm going to close. I want to walk so close to Him that when that trumpet sounds, He's already got my hand. Hallelujah. I want to follow so closely that when He takes a step, I take a step. Where He leads me, I will follow. Brother, and I close. I see Him tonight, spiritually speaking, leading this church. And I can tell you where the goal is. The city. And the Lord is saying to Abundant Life Tabernacle tonight, "You are my children. I love you. Beloved, you are my children. Now are we the sons of God, the children of God, tonight. When He shall appear, and He's going to, we shall be like Him. And we're going to go with Him." Come to the piano, honey. I don't know why the Lord has I don't know why the Lord has had me to continue to minister at my age. I have no complaints. If I live to be 120 and my health is well, if He wants me to preach, I'll preach. But I'll tell you how I feel. I feel like He's coming. I might as well tell you. I believe the Lord's coming. And I believe He wants to do something good in the lives of everyone. When we heard those testimonies this morning, I don't know about you, but it did something. And I can hear in my heart and in my mind, I can hear Him saying, "And I've got something for you. And you. And you. And you. And you." He loves us. I want you tonight, as we just come to worship God, I want you to remember this. He's coming. And He might, and I prayed a long time ago, and I don't know. He's never told me. I would love to be alive when He comes. I really would. I imagine a lot of folks, my dad, my mom, I imagine they would have loved to have lived on until He comes. Now, I don't know, I might go tomorrow, but I'd love to be alive to go out together. But if I die, we're going together. What are you saying, preacher? I believe I can tell you tonight, He's coming sooner than most of us believe. He's coming. We ought to rejoice. We're the children of God. We ought tonight in this altar thank the Lord that He saved us.